Been a blessing the last few weeks to have some guests, visitors come and be with us. Been praying for that, and they've been coming, so it's good to see new faces. It was a blessing to be able to baptize that couple last week. Hopefully they'll keep coming, they'll keep growing in the Lord, and they'll get to know the Lord, and they'll get to know us, and find a place here. Proverbs chapter 23, and we'll begin reading in verse number 15. And we'll read down to verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verses number 15 to 23. Solomon says, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak of right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in my way. Be not among winebibbers," that's a drunkard, "among riotous eaters of flesh." I guess you could say that's somebody who overeats. Whenever I see that phrase there in the scripture, it reminds me of a caveman with drool running down his beard, and he's got a big old huge turkey leg in his hand or something like that. He's, yeah. But I don't think he's what we're talking about there. Riotous eaters of flesh. Somebody's sitting around the table and they just can't quit eating. They're going to keep on eating. No, they just can't eat anymore. He's a glutton. Next verse. "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of righteousness shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." I'm going to look at verse number 18. It starts out, it says, "For surely there is an end." For surely there is an end. There's always an end. Every decision that you make has an end to it. There's a consequence to it. And I believe Solomon here is trying to tell his son, he says, you need to be careful, you need to watch out who you hang around with, who you let influence in your life, because there's an end to that. And he gives them the end to all of those things. So surely there is an end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us the end in your word. Lord, you always warn us about what's going to happen. You show us the end of sin. You show us the end of foolishness. Father, I pray that we'd have that same mindset, that we would look and see what the end's going to be of decisions that we make, of friends that we keep, company that we keep. Pray that we look at the end of that. Pray that you would show us and teach us these things tonight. I pray that we'd listen with open hearts and open ears and open minds. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, surely there is an end. I'd like to give you a hypothetical story or situation here about a man who opens up a newspaper and discovers that it is dated 6 months in advance of the time that he lives. Reading through the paper, he discovers stories about events that haven't taken place yet. He sees the sports page with scores of games not played. He turns to the financial page and discovers the rise and fall of different stocks and bonds. He realizes this information can make him wealthy. A few large bets on an underdog team can make him wealthy. Investments in stocks, now low, but will go high, can fatten his portfolio. He is delighted. He turns the page and comes to the obituary and sees his picture and story. Everything changes. The knowledge of his death changes his view about wealth. Surely there's an end. There's an end coming for each and every one of us. One of these days, we'll be laying in that casket. Now, one of these days, all the decisions that we make are going to come to an end. Now, the man in this story,
had a high view of wealth. And he thought, man, surely I can gain a lot of money, I can gain a lot of wealth if I can just get a hold of it. But then he comes slap in the face with reality that he's going to die in 6 months. And he said, hey, none of that stuff matters whatsoever. Who cares about wealth? You know what I bet he started thinking about? I wish I would have spent more time doing this. I wish I would have known the Lord better. I wish I would have read the Bible more. I wish I would have prayed more. I wish that I would have had better relationships in my life. I wish I would have known my children better. I wish I would have known my wife better. I bet all those things came to mind. But there's an end. There's an end coming. He didn't consider the end until he saw it. Now, there's an end coming for each and every one of us. And the Bible shows us what the end is. The Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, one of these days, the life that you live and I live will be over, and then we'll pass this life, and then we'll be going to meet God, and there will be a judgment one of these days. Have you considered your latter end? Have you considered the choices that you're making right now? Have you considered where they're going to take you in life? We have a lot of young people in here this evening. A lot of you aren't married. A lot of you haven't yet chosen a profession yet. Have you considered the end of the decisions that you will make one of these days? God always shows us the end. The Bible always shows us the ugly end. Now, if you go out there in the world and you watch beer commercials or you watch late night television or something like that, they're going to make a mock at sin. You know what the Bible says? Fools make a mock at sin. But God says the end of sin is death. He says, for the wages of sin is death. Tell you what, you're not going to get away with sin. What else did he say? I believe it was in the book of Exodus. Be sure your sin will find you out. God told the first two sinners in the Garden of Eden, he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And you better pay attention when the Bible says surely, because it's going to happen one of these days. Amen. And Solomon tells his son, he says, surely there is an end. Amen. He says, don't pay attention to the drunkards. Don't pay attention to those gluttons, because surely there is an end. Amen. It's coming one of these days. Now you may think you can get away with it. You may think you can get away with getting drunk, but surely there is an end. Amen. It's coming one of these days. Surely there's an end. So you better pay attention to the decisions that you make and how you live your life and who you hang around with, because an end's coming. An end is coming one of these days. So what will your end look like? How will you turn out? When you stand before God one of these days and it plays back your life, what will it look like? Oh, I didn't pay attention to God too much. I didn't think that was important too much. I didn't think the words of God were very important. I was more preoccupied with what someone might think of me. You know what, one of these days, what people think of you is not going to be important, none whatsoever. None. I didn't want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ because of what they might think of me. I didn't want to say no to evil. I didn't want to say no to sin. I wanted to go along with the crowd. Why? Because I cared about myself more than I cared about God. There's an end coming. Surely there's an end. Surely it's coming. You can't get around it. I can't get around it. Time is moving forward, and there's an end coming. Destruction is the sure end for those who disregard the Word of God. David said in Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 12 that we have 70 years of life, maybe. We have 70 years of life. And if God blesses you, he said he'll give you 80. But he said you better apply your heart to wisdom and teach us to number our days, because the end is coming. So what you do today determines the outcome of your life. Now, Solomon gives us three imperatives to a good and expected or hopeful end. Verse number 18 says, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Do you have a hope this evening? An expectation? Something you're thinking about? How will my life end up? Better watch the way you live your life. gives you three things that you need to do. The first thing is you don't envy sinners. Number one is do not envy sinners. The second one is fear the Lord always. And the third thing is buy the truth and sell it not. Do you have the truth? I have the truth. The first thing is don't envy sinners. You know what the problem is? We get so preoccupied with what's going on in the world that we think, man, I've got to live like this person. I've got to be like this person. And you start thinking, man, I want my life to line up with what everybody else is doing out there. So you start envying sinners. Hey, man, I'm just not happy unless I'm doing what everybody else is doing. Hey, Hollywood's doing this. Hollywood's dressing like this, and I've got to act just like they do. Hollywood doesn't go to church on Sundays. They don't care about the Lord's Day. They don't count it as holy. So why should I? You start envying sinners. Now, we're all sinners, amen, each and every one of us. But when Solomon says sinners here, he's talking about a very bad person right here. He's talking about someone who is rebellious and not remorseful whatsoever for the sin that he is committing. Someone who is actively rebellious against God and against His Word. Someone who is unrepentant or lacking all self-control or restraint. That's a sinner in this context right here. Now, I agree we're all sinners, but he's talking about a different kind of person right here. You know, the first time the word sinner is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 13. The inhabitants of Sodom were wicked before the Lord and sinners exceedingly. You know who got wrapped up in those sinners? Who started envying those sinners over there in the land of Sodom? It was Lot. Lot lost his shirt, lost his life, lost not his life, but his wife, lost his testimony, lost his influence. Why? Because he started envying sinners. He started looking over there to Sodom and saying, man, they look like they're having fun over there. I see all the bright lights flashing over there and I want to go that way. He had a choice he had to make at one point in his life. Abraham said, you can go to the right or you can go to the left, but you got to go one way or the other. What choice are you going to make today? You going to follow the Lord or are you going to follow somebody else? You got a choice. Lot had a choice to make. Go right or go left, and what did he do? He said, wow, man, looks good over that way. Lots of luscious lawns, big green trees, lots of streams, and then there's Sodom over there too. I think I'll pitch my tent towards Sodom. Looks like a good place. Looks like a fun place. And before too long, Lot had not only pitched his tent towards Sodom, he was then living in the city of Sodom. Amen. And lo and behold, after a while, two angels showed up and they said, Lot, you better get your family, you better get your wife and your daughters and your sons-in-law and get out of this place because we're fixing to destroy this city with fire and brimstone. Lot didn't want to leave. Are you nuts? While he lingered, the Bible said, they had to grab him by the arm and take him out of the city physically. Let's go, get out. Here comes fire and brimstone. You know what happened to Lot? Lot was a compromiser. Lot married a woman from Egypt that was not a child of God. She did not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And so she loved Egypt, and Sodom reminded her of Egypt, and she said, honey, let's go. Let's go on over there to Sodom. I want to go that way. Now I know that you're a child of God, but I really want to go over there. It reminds me of Egypt. Yeah. That's where I want to go. And Lot said, well, okay, looks pretty good. He was a compromiser. You know what? I bet she sent the tent with Abraham and Lot, and she heard about the God of his God, the one and true God. But you know what? Didn't affect her. She never was converted. You know how I know that? Because she looked back when they told her not to. They were dragging Lot and his family out of the city, and they said, don't look back. And she looked back because she loved Sodom. Turned into a pillar of salt. Amen. So Lot didn't consider the end of his compromises that he made. He did not consider the end of marrying an unbeliever. He did not consider the end of moving to Sodom with a bunch of sinners that were going to influence him in the wrong way. By the way, the Bible says that he was a righteous man. Yeah. Amen. Well, that's terrible. Terrible. And what happened to the end of Lot? Didn't think about it. Surely there's an end. Don't envy sinners. How about the younger son in Luke chapter number 15? Boy, that fly is really attacking me. How about the younger son of Luke chapter number 15? Didn't consider the end. He said, hey, give me the portion that belongs to me, Father. I'm going to the far country. Looks good over there. I've had enough of slaving here up on the farm, and I want to go to the big city where the big parties are. Yeah. Plenty of booze are flowing, man. Women, wine, dancing, that's where I'm going. Didn't consider the end. What happened to the younger son? Well, he was restored back to his dad, but man, you know what? Before he got back to his dad and his dad received him, he was in the hog pen feeding the hogs. That's what happened to him. He was envying sinners. Don't envy the sinner. Why? Hey, Solomon tells you what in the world's going to happen to the sinner, the end of the sinner in this passage. Tells you all about it. He says they'll come to poverty is the number one thing that happens to sinners. You know, that's the third leading cause of poverty in the United States is drugs and alcohol. Third leading cause of poverty. Drugs and alcohol. People get addicted to alcohol, and they choose alcohol over their wife, over their husband, over their children, over their job, and they lose their whole shirt because of alcohol. Poverty. Their credit rating goes down. They can't get a loan. They can't hold a job. And they're reduced to living down on the street because they did not consider the end of the sinner. He says poverty is one thing. That is the end of the sinner. Poverty. Verse number 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall surely come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Laziness is another thing that happens to the end of the sinner. Totally disregarding the Word of God. Laziness. Laziness. That alcohol and drugs and everything like that will affect your health. Become unhealthy. Verse number 29. Verse 29. We didn't read these verses yet. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. Unhealthy lifestyle. Gonna get you. That wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, hey, that's the end right there. That's the end. At the last, it bindeth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. It'll affect your marriage. You start looking around at other women whenever you start drinking. Yeah. Amen. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. You know what happens? They get addicted to that kind of stuff, and they can't go without it. They get drunk one night, the next morning they're up and they're drinking again. They get addicted to it. That's why you should stay away from alcohol, because it's addictive, and it'll ruin your life. Think, oh, well, I can handle it. No, you can't. Amen. No, you can't. Don't envy sinners. Don't envy sinners. How about old Demas over there? And I believe it's 2 Timothy. He was a faithful minister of the Word of God on the missionary trail with Paul. He got to looking around at the world, started envying sinners, and he said, hey, I'm out of here, and I left. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Don't envy sinners. You know what the end of those things is? Don't envy sinners. The end of sinners is not worth the temporal pleasure that it brings. So in contrast to that, you better fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Verse number 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now he says, in the fear of the Lord. I mean, that's your 24/7 mindset. You're in the fear of the Lord. Now, are you in the fear of the Lord or are you not in the fear of the Lord? Are you in this building or are you out of this building? Because you're either one or you're the other. So either you're fearing the Lord or you're envying sinners. One or the other. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You can't be inside the house and outside the house at the same time. It's an impossibility. You can't love the world and love God at the same time. It's an impossibility. Can't do it. The Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. The two don't mix. You just can't do it. So either you're fearing God or you're not fearing God. And Solomon says here, do it all the time. In the fear of the Lord all the day long. What does fear mean? I told you a couple of weeks ago, it means reverence or exceeding dread or fear. That's what it means. You know what? You and I ought to be completely and totally preoccupied with what God wants us to do and what He likes and what He loves and what pleases Him and what His will is. That should be our preoccupation all the day long. Would God want me to think this? Would God want me to say this? Would God want me to go here? That's fearing the Lord all the day long. All the time. That should be our pleasure. That's where we should get enjoyment from. It's from fearing the Lord. Finding out what He wants and what He likes. We should fear displeasing Him. We should fear chastisement from Him. All of these different things. Paul said in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. God's done something for you. He's working on the inside of you. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we should work out what God is working in. Fear and trembling all the day long. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Paul said that he disciplined his body. He didn't let his body get control of him. He kept control of his body because he did not want to become a castaway. He feared the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He said, my body wants to sin. My body wants to do things that are wrong. He says, but I keep my under my body. He says, I'm on top of my body. He says, I'm in control of my body. I keep it disciplined because I do not want to be a castaway. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's what you and I, each and every one of us, have to discipline our bodies because it wants to sin, doesn't it? Hey, we're all made out of this sinful flesh, aren't we? You must discipline it and keep it under subjection. Now I want you to look at the next chapter, chapter number 10. And Paul gives a warning to the children of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed him, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now Paul says, you got some people who were baptized, of course, under Moses. They were baptized, they had eaten the spiritual meat, they had eaten the manna, they had seen water come out of the rock. But it says God was not well pleased with these folks. And these folks were our examples. Did you know that you can be a baptized believer in Christ, a partaker in Christ, and yet be displeasing to the Lord? You can. If you go out and you sin and you live wickedly and you have no regard for the Word of God and you have no regard for the preaching of the Word of God, did you know that it is displeasing to the Lord? Very much so. All these things that in the Old Testament were written for our examples and our learning so that we can learn what not to do and what to do. Amen. That means that we should not disregard the Old Testament. We should not disregard the law of God because it's there for our sanctification and our learning and our teaching. Amen. All of it. Hey, it's there for a reason. Not only that, it leads us to Jesus Christ, the Old Testament does. Paul talked about in the book of Galatians, he says that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Shows us our sinful condition. Now, if you want to know what a sin is, open up the Old Testament and look at God's requirements, and you'll find out what it is. Right there. So these folks in the Old Testament right here that Paul was talking about, it says many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. Don't lust after them. You know, I quoted you a verse just a couple of minutes ago from James chapter number 4. It said not to be friends with the world, I believe I said. But that's what it says. You know what evil is in the sight of God? Lusting after evil things. In that passage right there, James chapter number 4. So we should be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now he said all the day long. That means you should be zealous about it. That means there ought to be a little bit of zeal about your Christianity. Amen. That means you ought to be a little bit of zeal about fearing the Lord. Hey man, I can't do that. Lord, would want me to do that. Hey, that's some zeal right there. Some zeal. So instead of feeling peer pressure to conform, hey, why don't you fear God? Fear God. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Don't be scared about what people are thinking about you if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Who cares? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's where you find safety. That's where you find security. What else did he say in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30? He said, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You put your trust and your faith in the Word of God, and you fear Him each and every day. You have some zeal about it all the time, every day. You shun the counsel of the world when it goes against the Word of God. Don't accept it. Stay away from it. Shun the counsel of the Word of the world and buy the truth from God. Buy the truth. Go back over to your text in Proverbs chapter 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Verse number 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. What did Jesus Christ say in John chapter 17 and verse number 17? He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to know where the truth is found? It's found in the pages of the Word of God. The Word of God is there. It cannot be overthrown. It cannot be burned. I mean, you can burn it, but you're not going to get rid of it. It'll always be there. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. So he says, buy the truth and sell it not. That means you purchase it, you own it, you obtain it, and you possess it with jealousy. It's mine. Nobody's going to take it from me. You hide the word of God in your heart. You treasure it as a possession on the inside of you, and nothing is going to take it away from you. Nothing is going to overthrow its authority on the throne of your heart. It is what leads you. It is what guides you. It is what possesses you. You buy the truth. You do not sell it. Yeah, but hey, everybody else over here is doing this. I want to sell the truth and go that way. You better not. Hey, society says homosexuality is okay. I'm going that way. I'm going to sell the truth, and I'm going to go that way. Don't do it. Hey, everybody else is drinking. They say drunkenness is okay. I'm going to sell the truth. I'm going that way. That's selling the truth. Selling the truth. That's compromising. Compromising the Word of God. So how important is the Word of God to you? How precious is the Word of God to you? Buy the truth and sell it not, he says. King Ahab sold himself to do evil in the Old Testament. He said, hey, this is what the people want. They want to worship idols. They want to live like heathens. I'll sell myself to work evil. What about old Esau? Sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Sold it. Don't sell it. You have it. You better treasure it. Memorize it. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Treasure it. Treasure it. Keep it tucked away safely. Give it the supreme place on the throne of your heart. And cast out anything that would threaten its authority in your heart. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let it have a stronghold in your life. You keep the Word of God as a treasure in your heart. And anything that tries to vaunt itself against that Word needs to be cast down. That's sin. That's worldliness. That's the corrupt culture out there that comes up against the Word of God. Cast it down. Cast it down. Peter said, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because as it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." You ever noticed how obsessed God is with holiness? He kept saying that over and over and over in the Old Testament. "Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy." He wants holiness from His people. So what kind of end will you have? Solomon says that we can have a joyful end in this passage. He says, man, your parents will be so joyful. Your father and your mother will be so joyful if you receive wisdom. If you do what the Word of God has to say, they'll be so joyful. Have a joyful ending. You know what? Your Heavenly Father will be so joyful if you listen to the Word of God and you'll obey it. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who don't need any repentance. You know what the Lord is joyful about? The obedience of His children. He loves it. He loves it. So you'll have a joyful end. You want to hear that? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the end of your journey, enter thou into the joy of my Lord."